Today on Real Radio.
When you enter into a relationship, if it's solely based upon appearance, then it's not going to last long. It's going to be extremely hyper regarding emotion, but it won't have any root to it. It'd be like a weed that shoots up but has no depth, and it will eventually perish. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a godly or a faith-filled man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." The amazing thing about Psalm 37:23, it reads this way: "The steps of a godly man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in his or her way." Did you hear that? God wants you to succeed as a single, and when you date somebody toward marriage, because that's eventually where it's going to happen, God is for you. Just do it God's way.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a collection of topical studies taken from the numerous scripture passages that instruct us and give us examples of how to live as believers in an unbelieving world. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Being a Christian in Your Relationships.
Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, follow along with me. "For this reason," Paul the Apostle said, "we also, since the day that we heard of it," that is of their faith as a church in Colossae, "that we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Verse 12, "giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us," I love that, he's done it, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us," translated us, "into the kingdom of the Son of his love." Verse 14, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Awesome. Well, in these next few weeks, as we've been studying and looking at, we're looking at a topical series in how our Christianity plays out in our day-to-day lives. And soon we'll be going to a study, as we normally do here at Calvary, chapter by chapter, book by book through the Bible. But right now we're looking at taking the Bible off the pages, as it were, the printed word, and giving ourselves maybe a little bit of a checkup. How are we doing? How are we progressing with the Lord? And that is no more prevalent than in our relationships that we have as Christians. And last time together, we looked at what it means to be a Christian regarding our jobs, our relationship between our employer and employee, and how we should have a work ethic based upon the Bible and what the Bible spoke on that. And then tonight, we're going to be looking at being a Christian in your relationships. Predominantly, I want to tell you right now, predominantly tonight, it is geared towards singles. It's geared toward predominantly younger people. Now, next week, we're going to get into the marital side of it. We're going to be looking at the home life and what does it mean to be married, and what do you do about raising kids and all that kind of stuff, communication. That's going to be a lot of fun. But we're going to be talking regarding a whole lot more. And so tonight is a little bit of a building block to where we're going next week. And I know that there are many of you that are single tonight, and you might say, well, next week I don't need to come. No, listen, next week you ought to come. Because you want to learn now what a marriage is all about based upon God's standard. And so, as I mentioned, tonight we're looking at being a Christian in our relationships. So listen, jot this down, be a note taker tonight, and commit it to memory. Number one, this is very important. Being a Christian in your relationships, put it this way. Point one, finding your mate. Being a Christian and finding your mate. Now, I don't know about you, and I've been on vacation. Now, Dr. David Hawking was not supposed to tell you where I was at, but he did. I watched it online and I cringed when he said it because I wanted you to think I was sweating and laboring in the mission field somewhere rather than on a beach in Hawaii, but that's what had happened to me. And that was the time where Lisa and I had gone away, and it was great. Thank you for being concerned for me. We had a great time. And maybe you'll hear a little bit about that tonight mixed into the study, but we're looking at finding your mate, and the dynamic of that is vitally important because as you consider tonight, what is it about finding a mate? Now, let's be honest, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but let's just take the general view of the Bible. Because inevitably, someone's going to come to me afterwards and say, well, Pastor, God's called me to be single, and you didn't talk to me tonight. Well, listen, predominantly, most Christians are called to get married. Not all. The Bible says some Christians, God calls them to be single. They're fewer in number. That makes sense. They're fewer in number, but God calls them to be single. And I just want to say this as a disclaimer tonight. God loves you. God is working in your life. Here's the deal. Pastor Jack, how do I know if God's called me to be single? Answer, if you love being single and you have no desire to be married and you're a faithful, Bible-loving, committed Christian, then guess what? God's called you to be single. If tonight you're single and you're saying, oh, I want to be married, then listen, God called you to be married. He's not evil. He's not mean. If you don't want to be married, you don't have to get married. And God put that in your heart that you don't want to be married. That's a thing from God. If you want to be married tonight, I mean, not married tonight, but if you're thinking, hey, I think I want to, you know, I have a desire. I have a need to be married. Then listen, that's from God. Don't sweat it. Don't freak out and panic about it. Number one, how do you find your mate? It's a very important thing. And by the way, as I was in Hawaii, I noticed people were fishing, and as they were fishing for certain fish in a certain way. For example, there were people out there for little fish along the shore, and they had little fish tackle, and they had little fish, string? Line. I'm not a fisher of fish. And they had little bait for little mouths, and they were catching little fish. And then further out, there were guys with these big, big charter boats, and they had gnarly-looking cable line that they were using to catch the big things. And so why am I saying this? Because as a single person, remember, tonight, assuming we're all Christians here tonight, I'm just assuming that, there's a certain way being a single person and being a Christian, how you want to present yourself in life. Okay? Meaning, how and where you fish for your mate determines the kind of fish you catch or the mate you get. In other words, being a Christian, you don't want to go to Joe's Bar and Grill to find your mate. You want to know why? You're fishing in the wrong pond, and you're going to snag something that you're going to want to throw back in the not-too-distant future. And a lot of people have made that mistake. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Being a Christian and finding your mate is a very important thing. Number one, jot it down. Here's the verse. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed in Hebrew. The word is happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to unbelievers about finding your mate. That means Oprah does not know who you should marry. Okay? Nor stands in the path of sinners. Dr. Phil cannot help you in this area. This is what God wants to speak to you about. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, MTV. They are not going to help you find a mate. Not going to happen. But his delight, that is the believer, is in the law of the Lord, the word of God, the Bible, and in his law he meditates day and night. That means he lives out the Bible in his life. This person, he or she is a real believer. Okay? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What a beautiful picture that is. That brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he or she does, it shall prosper. That's God's will for your life. Are you single tonight? God's will for your life is that you be super blessed and super happy. It's how you achieve that blessedness and happiness that makes all the difference in the world. The world outside this congregation tonight has taken relationships and has destroyed them, has ruined them. Everybody wants to watch the program, The Bachelor. Everybody wants to watch The Bachelor, and you see all this stuff going on. I know this now because I watched The Bachelor on vacation. I saw it. And my first conclusion was, why would anyone want to watch this? It was crazy because basically you see all these girls throwing themselves down at this guy and basically losing all respect for themselves to be just the slave to this guy. It's absolutely crazy. And my whole mind was, in fact, I was talking to the TV. Nobody was listening. None of the girls could hear me when I was saying, you should have more respect for yourself. And I want to talk about that tonight as we look at this. How do you find a mate? Well, number one, jot it down. Listen, you're going to marry the person you're dating someday. Who are you dating? Oh, just that guy, just that girl. Just that guy, just that girl will be someday the person you marry. Think about that. Now, unless you're Jewish or Muslim, where your parents are arranging the marriage, you're going to marry somebody you're dating someday. And that all starts with you going out with them or somehow meeting up with them. So to thank and to pray and to go to God's word, Christian, is the wisest thing you can do before you ask her or him on a date, or to be together on a date before you say yes. You might say, well, Pastor Jack, look, she's so cute. What a cute thing. She's caught my eye. Now, I need to address this. This is real stuff. Christian, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. You're Christian. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you are Christian men? Raise your hands. Okay, how many of you are Christian girls? Raise your hands. That's interesting. There's more guys in here than girls. Hey, girls, there's more guys in here than girls. More on that, though. We do have a point on this coming up. But this is important because if you see somebody, for example, and you say, well, she's cute, or he's handsome, or he's whatever you girls say, that eye catch that you saw, that's not sin. Well, I love the Lord, and I think she's cute, but that must be sin. No, God put that in you. Isn't it amazing how God is? Not everyone is cute to you. Did you know that's from God? There's a certain person that you may see her or him across the room and say, hey, wow. And you might ask your friend, isn't she cute? He'll say, where? Who? Her right there. That's a God thing. You don't need to go to confession or repent of that. That's a God thing. God has made us to be a creation that's attracted to other people. God designed that. It's not a bad thing. But listen, before you hand the keys to your heart over to them, there's a certain thing that you ought to be careful about. And that is this thing about attraction. You need to stop and ask the Lord to govern over your relationship. Now watch this, and I'm mainly talking to the guys. And keep that quote up there on the screens for a moment. This is an important thing. If you see her and she's cute and you're a Christian, and there's a high probability, let's say it's at church, you think she might be a Christian. Listen, what you want to do is, in making your way over to her to introduce yourself or whatever, you drop your Bible in front of her or you trip or whatever thing you do to get her attention, what you want to be careful about always, and this is free advice, mark it down, is, Lord, if this attraction's from you, I'm going to ask you, Lord, to bring that to pass. And look at the quote. Lord, she's cute or nice or smart, whatever is attractive to you. Listen, is she for me? Ask yourself in the very relationship that could be, is she for me? If so, Lord, open the door for us to meet. And Christian, here's the amazing thing. The Christian does not have to knock doors down. If God is in it, trust God to do it. Now, that doesn't mean you see her or you see him and you run in the opposite direction saying, well, if it's from God, she's going to tackle me from behind. That's not what that means. But it also doesn't mean that you run up and make it grossly obvious either. There's nothing wrong. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to get an amen from the ladies on this, I would think. There's nothing wrong with a man coming up and saying, listen, I saw you from across the room. My name's Jack. How are you? And have you been coming to Calvary long or whatever the setting is? Somehow break the ice that way and trust in the Lord. Christians, you need to trust God for your relationships. But attraction is normal. Genesis 29:17. Rachel was beautiful, says the Bible, of form and appearance. Now, when Jacob saw her, he loved her. So Jacob told Laban, verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Man, she must have been really attractive to him. He served Laban, her dad, for 7 years, and they seemed, listen, ladies, it seemed only but a few days to him because of his love for her. Aww. That's amazing. He loved her so much. But notice, when he saw Rachel, he went, wow, she is beautiful both in form and appearance. He was attracted to her. But it can't be the only reason why you initially go out on a date. It cannot be the only reason. And yet the world out there, it's all about looks. It's all about that. And let me tell you something. We should all know this by now, but just in case, looks, you know, you've heard the old saying, looks is only skin deep. And young people today go, what a stupid statement that is. Looks only skin deep. Looks are everything. Hey, listen, you can be with the cutest little thing in the universe, and if he or she's got a bad attitude, they get ugly fast. They get ugly quick. We are more than that. The Bible makes it very clear that God has created us body, soul, and spirit. There's the totality. So guys and gals, listen up very carefully. When you enter into a relationship, if it's solely based upon appearance, then it's not going to last long. It's going to be extremely hyper regarding emotion, but it won't have any root to it. It'd be like a weed that shoots up but has no depth, and it will eventually perish. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a godly or a faith-filled man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The amazing thing about Psalm 37:23, it reads this way. The steps of a godly man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in his or her way. Did you hear that? God wants you to succeed as a single, and when you date somebody toward marriage, because that's eventually where it's going to happen, God is for you. Just do it God's way. He made you. He made the person you're interested in. He knows what makes them tick. He knows. Listen, being a Christian and finding your mate, number two, is looking at this. The closer the relationship, the greater the ministry. Can you write that down? Remember you raised your hands a moment ago? Christian, listen up. All important. The closer the relationship, the greater the ministry. You say, Jack, I'm not ordained. I'm not in the ministry. Oh, yes, you are if you're a Christian. And guess what? Guess where that ministry begins? With the person you meet. Ministry doesn't begin in the church. The ministry that takes place in your relationship brings you into the church of more public ministry. Check this out. You say, Jack, that's ridiculous. I don't need to hear this. Hang on. And you ladies, listen up carefully. You'll be very happy about this, I think. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I know you think that you want to be alone. God says, men don't like to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 22, then the rib which the Lord God had taken out from Adam, he made into a woman, and he brought her to Adam, or to man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the Bible says, verse 25, and they were both naked. I just thought I'd throw that in there because of the topic tonight. They were both naked in front of each other, ordained by God. They were not ashamed, and they were walking before the Lord. And when Adam saw Eve, he said, woman, woman. And God brings Eve to him, and it's all under the understanding, it's not good for me to be alone. And listen, girls, you were not made from the heel of man. You were not made from the elbow of man. You were made from the marrow, the DNA, as close as you can get to the human heart, to man. And I think that's awesome. My kids have said in the past, well, men are so utilitarian. They're just ugly looking. Men, I mean, look at them. There's men. Here, carry the groceries. Take out the trash. Men. And then God made woman second. Now, I'm sure every guy in this room would agree that on the second time around, God made a better deal. God did a great job. So different, so amazingly opposite in every way, perfect engineering, and yet God says when you bring them both together in body, soul, and spirit, there's an amazing completion that takes place for every man and woman that cannot happen any other way. Any other way, it's impossible. You know why people write books, men are from Mars, and what's that book? Men are from Venus, Mars, women, whatever it's called. Why is the opposite? Why is it when he says, hey, let's do this, she says, I want to stay home? Why is it when he says, I want Italian, and she says, I want Mexican food? What is the deal? What is the difference? God made us to be different. Why? Listen, are you ready? God didn't create us to get married and to have a mate to make us happy. Let me finish. We have got this concept that God has done what he's done. It's all about me and my happiness. Listen, when somebody says, I can't live without you. Stop right there. Are you a Christian? Yes. But I can't live without you. You got the wrong guy. You got the wrong girl. Because if he or she cannot live without you, then listen, you are an idol in their life. Now, some girls might say, that's what I want. No, believe me, you don't. Believe me, you don't. Lisa and I are celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary this year, and you don't want that because listen, trust me, after 30 years, now she looks better tonight than she did the day I married her. And just, I was going to say, take a look at her, but she's my wife. Look at somebody else. But she's just over the top. She has to put up with me. She's the one that's got to be able to discipline herself and say, you know what? That's right. Beauty's only skin deep. I love Jack for deeper things, you know, because all that stuff fades away. But the stuff that God has engineered for us is to come together in a very deep and meaningful relationship. And again, the world's going to tell you different. The world is going to say, there's so many men or so many women in such little time. That's a perfect way to wind up in hell. That's a great way to destroy your life or get a disease or all of the above. You don't want to do that. There is not hope. If that's true, listen, if that's true, Hollywood should be the location of the happiest people on earth. Please think for a moment. It's not the answer. The truth is, God didn't bring us together to make us happy in marriage. He never said that anywhere. He brought us together in marriage to make us holy or complete or total. Therein comes the happiness. You see? When people say, I can't live without you, you make me so happy, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, I've got to have you. Listen, do you know how much pressure there is? I'm the greatest thing that's happened in your life? That's right. That's too much pressure for anybody to live under. We will let you down. We will fail. But he never fails. Always, always him first. Why? Because your spouse-to-be in the future, God has ordained for you to minister to. This is key. Note this. Purpose. The Lord, listen, is this relationship, you would say, Lord, is this relationship going to honor you? If so, Lord, open the door for us to see the purpose for this relationship. Are you interested in somebody tonight? Lord, ask him, is this relationship going to glorify you, God? Is it going to be a relationship of purpose? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, listen, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what communion has light with darkness? We would say today, can oil and water mix? And what accord has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Christians are to marry Christians. Why? Because marriage is a spiritual issue. Listen, when people come together and they're spiritually divided, you're setting yourself up for just a tremendous, terrible start.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Being a Christian in Your Relationships. It's part of a series we're presenting now here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In fact, our teacher recently concluded this series, and the audio is available. Visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more about the subtitles and topics in this series called Life and the Bible. Again, www.realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. All of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.